Welcome to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night. Atlantis in the Caribbean. Andrew Collins, my guest, as we look at the idea behind the advanced civilization existing of Atlantis. Is it in the Caribbean? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk with Graham Phillips tomorrow, the lost tomb of King Arthur. Our guest believes he may have cracked the code and found the real historic King Arthur and his final resting place. We'll talk about that on tomorrow night's show. Dark Waters, my guest this evening, as we're talking about strange supernatural encounters in the Big Easy down in New Orleans. And aside from being a great storyteller and historian and collector of stories, he also has his own online YouTube podcast that he does, where he takes people's stories and will narrate them with sound effects and interesting bits of information. Dark Waters with us right now. Dark, all right, let's play real quick for the listeners before we go to break the Headless Man audio that you sent for us. Would that be all right?
Yeah, that's good. Let me ask you one quick question, Dave.
Sure.
Literally, while we're on hold just now,
right?
I heard someone laughing over the phone. Was your microphone live or open, or were you hot on the mic?
My mic shouldn't be bleeding over to you. Juan, is that the open case? I'm asking our producer if anything I would have been saying would have been fed down to you during that time. Nope, he's saying it should not be the case. So we're having fun times.
Ghost friend, bro, because that's insane. It's a laugh like, ha, 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 ha.
Well, he must be hanging out in your neck of the woods because I'm not having it happen up here anymore.
Okay, all right, let's go.
All right, we've got some audio here from Dark's web series, so let's go ahead and play that. This is the Headless Ghost story.
I will never forget the day of my encounter with the Headless Man. I was 13 years old, and it was Super Sunday at Hunter's Park. Super Sunday here in New Orleans is a tradition that goes back to the 60s and 70s. It is a time the Indians would take to the streets with masks on. The rumbling sounds of the drums and the chant of "Let's go get 'em" was a clear signal to get off the streets and onto the porch. That night was the first time I was visited by the entity that would later be named the Headless Man in my neighborhood. Like many other kids in my town, my father was not around, so it was just me and my mother. That night, I settled into bed early around 8 p.m., still thinking about what I saw as the Indians passed through the streets. I admired them. They were like celebrities in the city of New Orleans. Falling asleep came easy that night. Almost too easy. I don't recall what time of night it was, but for some reason I woke up from my sleep. The nightlight which sat on top of a stack of plastic milk crates dimly lit the area surrounding my open bedroom door. From beyond the door, in the darkness, I could hear heavy footsteps that sounded like church shoes on our wooden floor. My 13-year-old mind searched for some type of explanation. But when the footsteps reached my door, I began to feel a chill. My mind was telling me to scream for my mother, but I couldn't. I was frozen with fear. Then, it stepped forward into the light. The shape of a man. I could make out legs, a torso, shoulders, and even arms. But this thing had no head or neck. Now, sitting straight up in the bed, I pulled the covers over my head, as if they would protect me from this ghastly creature. It was not until I felt it tugging at the cover that I was able to build the nerve to scream for my mother. My blood-curdling cry sent her into action, and the hallway light came on. Still petrified, I sat there with my head under the covers until my mother began to talk. When I told her what I saw, she didn't seem surprised. She just told me to come sleep in the bed with her. Talking to the older boys in the neighborhood, I found out that the Headless Man had always been seen on Super Sunday. He was said to be the ghost of a Mardi Gras Indian that was beheaded during a fight, and he still haunts my old town to this day.
Great stories just like that. We'll continue with Dark Waters, my guest, here on Coast to Coast AM. You can find more information about our guest, Dark Waters, by visiting coasttocoastam.com. Coasttocoastam.com. You'll find links to his stories and the dramatizations he does of those stories on his YouTube channel. All right, we're back now. Part of the stories that have fascinated me for the last few years here, Dark, are the stories of black-eyed kid and black-eyed people encounters, where these chilling encounters have happened. And when they finally get a good look into the face of these beings, their eyes, the entire eyes, are jet black. Have you got some black-eyed kid or black-eyed people in stories to share with us as well?
Oh, yeah, I got some of those. I got some real creepy stories, some of those stories. One, the first one that comes to mind, and it goes back to how I got the Banshee story.
Okay.
About after Hurricane Katrina. So this is another one of those Starbucks conversations. We're hanging out at Starbucks, a good friend of mine, and we're just sitting there talking. And again, I'm drinking my iced coffee, and this young lady walks up who works for one of the judges. And we all know her because we've seen her plenty of times. And she walks up and she starts talking kind of weirdly about, hey, I had this real strange occurrence that happened to me, and I wanted to kind of share it. And it's a group of men pretty much out there talking and hanging out. And she's like, but none of you guys are going to believe me. So she starts to walk off. And I say, listen, I'll believe you if you tell me. So we move over a little bit, maybe 10 feet away from everybody else, and sit down and start talking. And she says, well, I work as a court clerk. And as the clerk of court, I sit in the courthouse. And just recently, I saw the most handsome, gorgeous man I'd ever seen in my life. And she proceeds to describe this attorney, 6'4". And she called him a beautiful man. And I mean, you must be an attractive man if a woman is calling you beautiful. And she
I wouldn't know.
Watch. And oh man, you're about to mess me up. And she talks about his watch, and she talks about his Prada shoes and his tailored suit and his athletic cut suit and how she just was adored this man just on his first appearance. And so they take a recess from court, and she goes out to the backside of the building to take a smoke break. And when she gets there, lo and behold, this man is there, and he's outside smoking. So, of course, she tries to hit on him. She says, hey, how are you doing today? And he has his back turned. He doesn't say anything to her. And so she continues to try and spark up this conversation. This guy says nothing. And she's a very attractive woman, so she's trying to figure out, and I can attest, she's attractive. And she's trying to figure out why this man is not talking to her. And so she, standing directly behind him, she starts moving to his left to try and make eye contact with him. And he turns his head, and his eyes are completely black. And now the description of this black is she said it was, because like his eye sockets were like these black voids, not just that his eyes or his pupils or whatever the white part of his eyes were gone, that his eyes, the sockets were this black void. And the funniest thing about her telling this story, in the middle of telling this story at Starbucks, she gets up and she does this goofy run. And she's like, I ran away like this. And she runs across the little area with her arms in the air, directly above her head, waving her arms and screaming. And everybody's looking at her like, what's wrong with you? And so she says she runs back all the way around the building to the front side of the building because the access door that she thought was open had locked behind her. And she runs around to the front of the building, through the metal detectors, and back into the courtroom, and sits down and starts to try and compose and gather herself.
Okay.
And this gentleman walks back into the courtroom and sits down and looks at her for a little while. Then he walks and leaves. And I was like, wow, that's crazy that you experienced that. And she wasn't lying, again, because you don't get up in front of maybe 40 people at Starbucks and act out this thing that happened to you. She wasn't talking low. You don't do that. You know, if you're not going to, unless you're just mentally insane, and she's not. And I've seen her many times since. And she really is a great person. She's entertaining to talk to. She really, really is. So that's one of the stories. The second story is, it's an aftermath of Katrina story. And this woman, when I originally started doing the Dark Waters channel, I have an email list of right at about 3,000 people from other things that I've done around the city of New Orleans. So I sent out an email, a blast, to all my friends saying, hey, this is what I'm doing, and I'm looking for these spooky stories. Has anybody encountered anything scary? And this lady who used to work at my son's preschool prior to Hurricane Katrina emails me back and she says, we should talk. And it takes a little while to get on the phone. And finally, when we get on the phone, she starts to share this dark, black-eyed kid encounter that she had. And she's right now, she's located in Nashville, Tennessee. And she's trying to move back to New Orleans as we speak. But she has an apartment complex that she lives in. And it's right across from a park. And so she's used to hearing the kids play. And she really, really worked with children. So she loves children. And on this particular Saturday, she's waiting on the maintenance man to come to the apartment. And I think it was having something to do with her dishwasher being broken. And so she goes, she's walking around the apartment, and she hears this knock at the door. And she just opens the door and says, come in. Just, you know, she's not in New Orleans. You would never do that here in New Orleans because there's some bad actors here. But she's in Nashville. She's like, open the door and come in. And as she turns her back to walk towards the kitchen, she starts to get this ominous feeling. And she described it as if her spine became alive, like the center of her back started to tingle from her butt bone all the way up to the top of her neck. And she knew something was wrong. And when she turned around, it was this little girl at her front door. And she said the little girl had on a Gap's T-shirt with blue jeans and some blue tennis shoes. And the girl had her head down with her hair kind of like the bangs on her head kind of covering her eyes. And she walks up, and keep in mind, this is a woman who taught kids in preschool, so she's very tender and very nurturing. She says, darling, are you okay? Is everything all right? And this little girl looks up, and she has these black eyes. Now, these black eyes are the actual eyeballs that are completely black. And she's like, oh, my God, what is this? And so she starts to back away from this little girl. And as she backs further and further away, she thinks in her mind that she's going to run over and close the door. As she thinks to close this door, the little girl steps in and closes the door behind her. And ever since that day, she shared with me multiple times the things that have gone wrong with her. And recently, the most recent thing that happened was that she was sleeping in bed. And this little girl, when she woke up, the little girl was at the doorway and walked towards her and touched her on her foot. And she said she was diagnosed with necrosis of the foot or necrosis of the toe, which when I looked it up, it was like your flesh starts to rot and your skin starts to rot. So I asked her, I said, hey, her name, and she doesn't have a problem using her name. Her name is Pat. I said, Miss Pat, I said, have you seen this little girl? She's like, she comes and goes. She's like, there's time that she's there. And there's times that she's not there. And she was like, I didn't have high blood pressure. Now I have high blood pressure. She's like, I didn't have anxiety. Now I have anxiety. And she's like, every time I turn a corner in this apartment, I'm expecting to see this little girl there. And I say, well, when is the last time you saw her after she touched your foot? She said, I saw her sitting there watching TV. And I said, what do you mean watching TV? She said, I saw her sitting there on the floor watching TV. And then when I went in another room, she wasn't there. And that is the most frightening encounter to me, that out of everything, and talking about Dog Man, where people are getting chased by dogs, that is the most frightening thing, because she invited something in her home unintentionally that is there now. And that is the reason why she's trying to move to New Orleans. She's trying to leave Nashville to come to New Orleans right now, because she's currently, as we speak, being plagued by this paranormal activity. Now, what these children are, Dave, you'd have to tell me. I don't know. I tried to research it. Nobody has a definitive answer as to what this is, but that is, out of all my stories, that one right there is the creepiest, because when I say I know this lady, I would tip this lady every day when I pick my kids up from school. I would give her rides home. I really, really, really know this person, and she's a God-fearing Christian. She's not the type of person that would lie for anything in the world. I mean, one of the most phenomenal people that we would meet. And it really bothers me that she's going through something like this. And it's just completely frightening to me, because I couldn't imagine dealing with something like that.
You know what I'm curious about? I'd love for you to ask her, or maybe, you know, we could set up a conversation between the three of us at some point. When she has these visitations, and when this girl was at her bed and touched her foot, and then she ended up with necrosis on one of her toes, it makes me wonder how often this little girl shows up, how quickly something happens. I wonder if instead of the little girl being the bad force, if she's there trying to point out things that need to be looked at, drawing the attention to something that maybe the woman wouldn't have noticed. And in essence, kind of saving her life. It, you know, there's a lot of different theories about the Black Eyed Kid encounters. Some believe them to be these kind of harbingers as well. Some have shown up and then, you know, people that have had visits with them have died. Other people haven't. So it's hard to tell exactly what we're dealing with, but I'd love to know more about the moments she has those encounters. Was there something going on in her life? Was there a danger, an illness? And would she have been alerted to it if this little girl had not made her appearance?
I'd be happy to facilitate that conversation. Yeah. I really would. I will be absolutely delighted because she needs help. And essentially, if it is what you're saying it is, then it may be a good thing. But as far as I'm
possibly
concerned right now, this is a horrible thing.
Well, the black-eyed kid encounters range. I mean, most of the time, they're trying to get into the home. They're trying to get into the car. You know what I think is funny, and you know, listen, I'm with a lot of naysayers, and I understand being skeptical. You have to be skeptical of these questions and claims. And when they first started brewing about three and a half years ago, and we started hearing about the black-eyed kids, it automatically sounded like an urban legend to me. And then I began getting emails from people all around the world, and I started getting emails from Afghani war vets and Iraqi war vets that were having experiences with these black-eyed kids, people that have no stake in the game. They weren't looking for fame or fortune. They didn't want me to mention their names on the air. And they've told these stories. And I love how some of the people will debunk it with, oh, it's just kids with those blackout contacts. But what they forget is in most of these stories, it's at usually some late hour or in some desolate area. First of all, as a parent, I'm not going to foot $200 for blackout contacts for my 10-year-old to 14-year-old. Secondly, I'm certainly not going to let them be out cruising around from 10 o'clock till 2 in the morning and just trying to scare people, especially in the concealed carry world that we live in now. That's just asking for trouble. And then the other rationalization people have come up with is now, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, Dark, but you can tattoo the eyeball. And that's there are some people.
Why would you tattoo your eyeball, though? Why would you know?
I have no clue, but some people are getting their eyes tattooed, and some people have come to me going, well, how do you know it's just, you know, kid that didn't get his eye tattooed? And I always question, well, what good tattoo artist in the world would be silly enough to do that and tattoo the eye? So I don't think those are the encounters. The fact that they seem to make themselves known and vanish so quickly, that's what is chilling, and that some of them are so insistent on getting into the house or into the car, getting a ride home from the person. Yours is one of the first stories I've heard where it got in the house and just keeps recurring and showing up. Does she notice, does the little girl always have black eyes every time she sees her?
Every time that she's spoken to me about this girl, she has black, she has had black eyes. And that's one of the things that's been consistent. And the most frightening thing about it all is it makes sense what you're saying, and maybe it's a harbinger, but everything she's told me has happened to her since that she's come in contact with this entity. So
right.
High blood pressure, the problems with her foot, the other little issues that she's had. She didn't have any of this stuff before she had this encounter. Her life was actually taking a great turn because she got away from New Orleans and she made new friends and she's in a city where she's being embraced. And now this is a downslide for her. This is a downslide for her right now. So,
well, and that could have been the timing, too, that as a harbinger, if it shows up in her life and things start to go to hell, we automatically start to assume and assign blame to that thing as being the reason. And again, it's one of those, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did this woman have a bunch of illnesses that were going to start coming on that the fates knew she would not take care of, so they sent this entity to make her aware? And I would tell her in full honesty, start paying attention to those moments, what's going on in your life, stress levels, everything, and maybe this little girl is trying to save her life. We have to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more with Dark Waters. Dave Schrader, your host, right here on Coast to Coast AM. This night is going much too fast. Our great guest this evening is Dark Waters as we talk about the strange and supernatural in Louisiana, as he's sharing many different stories from ghosts to the banshees. And then in this next segment here, I would like to start to delve into the weird world of the dogmen, the Rougarou from down south. So we'll talk about that in the next segment. And at the top of the hour, we'll begin taking your phone calls. And I'll tell you what, if you're listening out there and you're interested in joining me in a live encounter with the supernatural, well, there's two great opportunities coming up. One, this coming week, I'll be in Liberty, Missouri at the Belvoir Winery, the Odd Fellows Asylum, doing a full investigation along with Bill Chappell, the engineer who creates most of the equipment that you see on paranormal TV shows, Chris Fleming, the psychic and medium sensitive who's been on everything from Dead Famous to Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, you name it. He's made a guest appearance on it, and he'll be on site with us, some other great guests. And we'll also have the Illusion team from Intrigue Theater. Sean Paul and Juliana Fay will be doing some of their throwback spiritualism illusions, and it is amazing. Anyway, that's taking place this coming weekend in Liberty, Missouri. You can find information at darknessevents.com, darknessevents.com. And if you're more of the adventurous type and you'd like to set out on a big journey with us, well, here's what you can do. I'm going to be heading over to Germany and Prague in June. And I would love for you to join us as we go through and investigate haunted castles, crypts, and more. There's only a few spots that remain open for this. We have about 3 to 4 spots that still remain open, and we'd love for you to join us. It's going to be a great little group of about 25 to 30 people. And the entire package and all the information is up on our site at darknessevents.com. And you can keep checking that website for more updates on where you can find me and my trips around the United States and around the world this next year. I believe I'll be crossing paths with George Norrie a few times, so hopefully you get a chance to come out and see both of us at a few of the different events as the year progresses. And remember, go check out coasttocoastam.com for all of George's itinerary, what's coming up for him, where you can see him live, and for all the information on his TV series Beyond Belief. You can see all the things that you love to hear on Coast to Coast on his new TV series Beyond Belief. Go check it out at beyondbelief.com. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Dark Waters and the Dogmen when we return to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. My guest this evening is Dark Waters, and we talk about the supernatural in the South. All right, Dark, let's start to talk about the Dogmen encounters. They're also known as the Rougarou. What can you tell us about this, and have you ever had an experience with the Dogmen?
Absolutely. I've had my own encounter, a very foolish thing that I did, and I'm more than willing to share this with you, the dog man. So,
yes, we always want to hear foolish encounters. Those are our favorite ones. What did you do?
Completely stupid and completely foolish with me. Well, before I get that, quickly let me say this. So, the dog man is, and I have dubbed this particular cryptid as the crypto terrorist. I mean, this particular creature is known for terrorizing people to the point that it shows this super high level of intelligence because of the things that it does to people. Things like ripping off deer heads and putting them in the seats of bulldozers, or tearing off possum heads and leaving it on people's porches, or growling and stalking people. Now, to get to my encounter, so I initially found out about Dogman because of a gentleman who is an ex-Army Ranger who I met out while I was smoking cigars downtown, and he told me his encounter. So that put me on the Dogman, which led to me following this trail of witnesses to Taylor, Mississippi, where I met a guy named Skip, and he took me out, and that's really a quick summary of everything, but he took me out for a ride in down Taylor Road where he had his encounter with Dogman. And so to paint the picture for you guys, we've been driving for about 20 minutes, and he's just pointing out different areas of activity. And this is in northeastern Mississippi. And he's pointing out areas of activity. And so he says, I'm going to take you to the very spot where I had my encounter. And I'm like, great, let's go. Now, before I tell you anything else, I am, at this point in time, this is very early on in me doing this channel, and I am 100% skeptical about all these things. Like, I'm like, okay, this is a great story. This is a part of me investigating, and I want to make sure that I see this man face to face and spend some time with him. But I didn't expect anything to happen. So, and I really, really honestly didn't expect any of this to happen to me. So we're there. We're on the spot of his encounter. It's just before it gets dark, and we're standing in the roadway. His car or his truck is parked on the side of the road. It's still running. And we're standing in the middle of the roadway talking. And he says, okay, so this is the area. And I'm trying to pull the emotions out of him because I figure I have a great opportunity. I'm in the spot where he had his encounter. So now I'm going through this series of questions about how did this make you feel and what did it do to you physically? And he's describing all these different feelings that he had. And then the sun starts to set in behind the trees. And one of the things that stands out to me, and this really gets me nervous and I start pacing, is that there's these crows on the power line, and there's these blackbirds. We call them crows, blackbirds, whatever you want to call them. And they start squawking a little bit. I didn't know then. Now I know that these particular birds are so intelligent that they signal off to each other the warnings of other predators. But they start squawking real loud, and they fly off squawking away. And we start hearing this noise coming through the trees. And initially it was very far away, and it sounded like something running through the woods. And it got louder, and it got louder, and it got louder to the point to where it sounded like a freaking bulldozer coming through the woods. And so he's backing off, and he says, they're coming our way. And I'm like, who is they? You know, what's going on? And my history in the woods is this. I don't go to the woods. That's my history of the woods. I don't enter the woods. Under no circumstances. That's just not why. That's my history. So
right.
I'm completely out of my element. Now, with that being said, I'm out of my element, and I'm skeptical. So none of this is real to me. None of this is reality to me whatsoever. It's just, okay, I came out here to do an investigation. Bada bing, bada boom. I'm not really worried about anything. And this noise gets louder, and it gets louder. And then you hear tree limbs breaking. And for those men who've been in the woods and who are hunters and women who go out in the woods, you know what a fresh tree break sounds like. It's loud. It's a plop. It's loud. It's this loud sound. But it's not one. It's five and six of them. Plop, plop, plop. Like, and I'm like, whoa. And so he says, hey, you need to get in the truck. And he's walking off, leaving me in the middle of the street. And so I start walking my way back around to the passenger side of the truck. And he gets in the driver's side, puts his right leg up in the truck. He says, these things are coming up on us. And he starts calling the distance. He said, that's about 200, 300 yards away. He's calling these distances. And he says, get in the truck. I didn't get in the truck, Dave. And to this day, I don't know why I didn't get in the truck. I just stood on the passenger side of the truck with the door open, with it up against my butt, and he pulls off. Boom, gone. He takes off, gone down the road. It's dark enough to where the taillights of the truck are, you can see the taillights of the truck leaving light on the roadway. The door swings open, swings back, and he turns the corner, and I'm there by myself. And now I'm freaking out because all the noise that I was hearing,
mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about all this noise ceases. And it's like in a split second, it stops. And I'm standing on a roadway, Mr. I know nothing about the woods, nothing about being outdoors. I'm a city guy. I'm standing on the side of the road by myself. And so I'm looking in the direction of where the sounds come from, and I start to freak out. You know, I really start to freak out to the point to where I'm sweating, my heart is palpitating, I'm feeling dizzy, and I'm like, man, you know, what's going on? Now, I don't hear anything else at this point in time, and I'm just, like, freaking. So, as I stand there, the only thing I could think to do is kind of raise my hands to defend myself. I don't have a weapon because I didn't anticipate there being anything there. I don't have anything. I raise my hands to defend myself, and as I'm doing this and hunching my shoulders up, I hear him slamming on the brakes, and it's the most insane sound. It's... And then I hear his engine rev as he's coming back my way. And as he's coming back down the roadway, I can see those headlights out of the corner of my eye. And as he approaches me, across from me in the tree line, I see a huge black figure move from one tree to the next. Now, I wasn't able to make out much of the figure. I wasn't able to make out and say, oh, I saw this dog, man, and saw it snout, and it growled, and it smiled at me, and it winked. But I saw something for sure. Move from left to right, and slams on the brakes right in front of me, stops right in front of me. He says, get in the truck, and he's screaming. And one of the things that I initially told a story on YouTube, I made it seem like I was the man and I hopped in the back of the truck like Rambo or something, but no, that's not really what happened. I'm a little bit overweight, and so Imagine my big behind trying to throw my left leg is planted. I'm trying to throw my right leg up into the bed of this truck, and it doesn't work. So my knee hits the truck, boom. And he's looking at me like, get in the truck. And so after doing that twice, I move towards the back tire, hit the back tire with my left foot, jump in, lay down flat, and he pulls off. And we get about 2 or 3 miles away, and he pulls over, and I get in the truck, and I'm livid. I'm like, man, you left me. I'm using language that I cannot use on the radio. I'm screaming at
him.
And he looks at me. He says, I wouldn't have left you. I didn't leave you. I thought you were in the truck. I wouldn't have never done that. I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that to you. And looking in his eyes, I realized that he was serious. He didn't have any intentions on leaving me. And that was my encounter. And since that day, I have taken every dog man encounter that has been told to me, and I really have investigated them to the point to where I really want to know about these creatures, but I don't want to ever see this creature.
Because right.
The thing about this creature is, whether you call it Dogman, whether you call it Rougarou, whether you want to call it werewolf, I don't care what name you call it. I don't care. I don't even care about the origins of it. What I do know for a fact is that this creature terrorizes people, absolutely terrorizes people to the point to where they are changed forever. And it's something that's insane. And they're reporting them from Afghanistan to all over the United States to Europe, these things to Africa. These things are everywhere. And I have, there's certain stories that I'm allowed to talk about because people consent to me talking about, but there's so many that I don't get a chance to talk about because they just want to get it off their chest that is insane. And this creature is known for a couple of things. And just to tell you about them, there are two types that I know about. And one is essentially, it looks like a Bigfoot with an absolutely insanely large dog head on top of it, but it has the body of a Bigfoot, big muscular body. And then there's this canine type that looks like what you would see on Dog Soldiers or one of these movies, or even the underworld type of werewolf. And these creatures, depending on which one you run into or which one you have the encounter with, the Bigfoot version is pretty much alone that runs on its own. But if you run into the canine version, that's where you get into having multiple of these creatures around you. And they're so intelligent that one of them will reveal itself to you, and you won't know that the other ones are there. And what people have to realize, Dave, because this is one thing that really hits a nerve with me, there are people who are skeptical, and I'm fine with that. You don't have to believe anything I say, and that's perfectly fine. But then there's people who are curious, and that's fine. You're curious and you want to know. But then there are people who are insane who want to go out and find these creatures. And I get these emails and these phone calls because my subscribers can call me and they say, well, could you tell me where the location is? I said, no, I'm not telling you where the location is. And I said, because I'm not going to be an accessory to your murder. And if you do find a location, bring a body bag with you so the sheriff won't have to bring one out there for you. And people think I'm playing, but I'm serious. It's just, it's insane the level of intelligence that this particular cryptid has. And I get Bigfoot stories all the time. I get stories about Bigfoot and people leaving out stuff for Bigfoot and Bigfoot stacking these rocks and Bigfoot can use tools, and that's fine. You know,
right.
And people have Bigfoot encounters and they're within distance of Bigfoot where they can see him. And as long as you don't bother their young, it seems like Bigfoot is cool, you know. Now, you can't hang out and smoke a cigar with Bigfoot, but Bigfoot seems like he's cool. This dog man creature is not the one that you want to mess around with. It's just not, it's not the one to play with because it's just a completely different animal, an apex predator that is highly intelligent, that uses strategic tactics to distract you, sneak up on you. And I'm one of the proponents that I say, and I will say this publicly, that I believe that these creatures have killed people and will kill people in the future. And my only warning to people as we proceed to talk about this, because I'm really going to dive as much as you want into this, is don't go looking for this. Really, really don't. Just be curious about it and leave it in the realm of entertainment, because, again, I referenced earlier about once you cross the line between entertainment and reality, sometimes you find things that you're just not prepared for. And there is nothing on this planet that will prepare you for handling a 10-foot-tall werewolf. Nothing. Nothing on the planet, because as human beings, we're not equipped
Right.
Our psyches and our minds are not even prepared to conceive this creature. And so you have to get beyond the shock of the fact that it exists. But while you're trying to figure out what's going on, it's eating you. And you're sitting there getting eaten, saying, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm being eaten by a dog, man. Yeah.
And you're right. You talk about people are out trying to find and have these experiences in it, you know, talking about the dogman style encounters. And we're going to talk much more about that in the next hour. We'll also interweave some of your phone calls. I was at Robinson Woods in the Chicagoland area, and this was about 8 or 9 years ago, shortly after I started doing the radio show Darkness Radio. And I'd gone back to visit some friends, and you know, they were trying to impress their gals by saying, oh, our buddy, you know, he's been on a couple of the different paranormal shows. He's got a radio show. You should, you know, we're going to all go out to this haunted area that is out in the woods, Robinson Woods. So we went out there and, you know, regaling them with creepy stories of ghosts. And we get about halfway through into the forest, and we hear this loud wailing noise. I've never heard anything like it. It sounded like an alarm going off at first, kind of this kind of woo, and it grew just to this woo. And as it got louder, it started to hit this crescendo. It turns into this cacophony of dog barks. So you just hear this wailing. Then I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, there, you know, some kind of alarm is going off, and it's every dog in the neighborhood is waking up, until you can hear them charging through the woods, the sounds of the branches snapping and leaves going. And I look at my friends and I think, oh man, we are in for it now. This isn't good, guys. There's coyotes, and wild coyotes will attack. We might be in trouble. So the guys kind of circled. We put the ladies behind us. We reach out and grab sticks, and we're standing there. And like you said, you're not prepared. You're not. And we're holding sticks, and I'm thinking, yeah, we're going to beat off an entire army of, you know, rabid coyotes or werewolves coming at us with a couple of sticks. And I remember just thinking, I just let us get out of here. We won't come back. Just let me get out of here. And as I thought that, all of a sudden you hear the, and it just stops. Not one sound. And you know, Dark, that when dogs are barking in tangent together, they'll kind of gruff and snort and scrape at the ground. We heard nothing, not a sound, nothing coming through the woods. No more branches cracking, no more leaves crunching. And we just slowly backed our way out of that area and got back into our car and got the hell out of there as quick as possible. So I've been in that same kind of situation with you, where what I was visualizing in my head was probably 100 times more terrifying than when it was actually making its way through the woods to us. But you think you're prepared for these moments until you actually put yourself into them, and then it is an extremely terrifying circumstance.
And I encourage nobody to put themselves in that situation, because, again, you are not prepared for it. And in my encounter, so sounds, you can tell where a sound is originating from. You can tell if a sound is originating from low to the ground or high to the ground. These sounds were high, like it wasn't low branches breaking. These sounds were originating from a high origin point. And that's what really freaked me out, because sound travels and you can pick it up, but this sounded like it was going above my head, right? The brakes were like above my head. And I'm like, what is this? What is going on? And so we can talk about it all you want, as much as you want, about Dogman, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell people to take a chill pill, relax, and just enjoy it as entertainment, because the minute you go looking for this particular cryptid, then if you do find what you're looking for, you're in for something that you're not prepared for. And to get into some of the other stories.
We're up against the break here. So when we come back, let's talk about the Dogman of Bayou Savage, the siege of Dogman at Lockett Ranch, and more. We'll do that with our guest, Dark Waters, tonight. And we'll open up phone lines. So if you have some questions for our guest, if you have your own encounters that are similar, or you're familiar with the Louisiana legends and lore and you want to share those stories, this is the time to do it. We'll be back. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.